The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop. Later on in the show, we'll be reflecting on Real Madrid going back to the top of La Liga table after thrashing Mallorca. We'll start, though, in the Carabao Cup. Manchester United out after losing at home against West Ham. Lanzini's ninth-minute goal proving to be the difference between the two sides. Craig Burley with us, as is Julien Laurent. Jules, what went wrong with United?
Well, I think they tried. They had a lot of the ball. They had 27 shots. I think only 6 on target or 5 on target. I think the selection of shots was wrong. I mean, some of the shots that they were taking, it was just crazy. Outside of the 18 yards box, it was just... I don't think there was any enough structure when they had the ball going forward, which is a shame because they had a lot of the ball. I think they could have been... more pace to their game. It was a bit too slow, sloppy at times. And obviously, Solskjaer made a lot of changes. It was very much a B team, if not a C team at times. And Bruno came on late. But I just don't think they did enough with the ball to break down what was a strong West Ham defence with a very good Alphonse Areola in goal, I thought.
Your boy Martial getting a lot of stick, Jules.
Yeah, and rightly so. I mean, I can defend my boys as much as I can at times. But tonight... I'm just struggling a bit. Of course, he doesn't play much and it's hard to get into the rhythm where you don't play often and you don't play much. But again, tonight, I don't think the effort was there. I don't think the movement was there from him. I don't think he helped the team enough. And he was too much of a passenger, which is a problem that we've highlighted already about Anthony Martial. The problem is, now that there's so much competition for places, this is not that you have a chance. This is not enough. This is not good enough from him.
Big deal, Craig.
Do you know, interestingly enough, Jan tweeted me on Sunday, Dan, it was tongue-in-cheek to be fair, about how Man United were world-class once again, but strangely enough, I've not heard from him tonight. I don't know if his battery's died in his phone or something, but I've not heard. Listen, Joe said there it was a B-team for Man United. Let's not forget, it was also a B-team for West Ham, right? And I think it also shows that David Moyes has a half-decent squad at West Ham when he was able to make that many changes. Plus, the game's also at home. So, look, in terms of all the cups, we know where the Carabao Cup stands and all the competitions. However, where does this stop? It's a continuation of the exits from cup competitions and being out of fighting for leagues, once again, under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And in some sense, it could have been there almost like some sort of comfort blanket if the Champions League goes wrong, if... The charge for a push for the title this year amongst the big four, shall we call it, goes wrong. That could have been a kind of fallback of somewhat. Don't forget, United won this in 2017 under Jose Mourinho. Let's not forget. So he did deliver a trophy. So in some sense, we should remember it as the lesser of the competitions. But is Solskjaer in a position where he can just say, "Ah, well, not too bothered about that"? I don't think he is, so I think it's going to be a bigger deal than many people think.
Shaka, you're getting excited by the end of this one.
I was getting excited because West Ham are going through in a competition that if the big boys continue to take as easily as they do, you know, who knows what this offers. Listen, if I'm Manchester United, I'm sitting in our dressing room as a result, being out of the Carabao Cup of all competitions, of the four that these clubs compete for, This is no big deal. I'm not at all bothered. But as a neutral, somebody sitting on a desk like this, in a week that we have discussed how tight that top four race is going to be and where the difference is going to come, and you talk about squads and depth of squads and how that may factor into who does win silverware at the end of this season, what this is showing me is that outside of Manchester United's starting 11, who, yes, deservedly are there in the discussions around silverware, there is nothing to be worried about. You make wholesale changes, and Manchester United offer absolutely nothing until Bruno Fernandes and Mason Greenwood come off the bench. And again, where squads might play a part as you compete for, well, now three competitions for Manchester United. What is there to fall back on? What is there to rely on? Who can Ole Gunnar Solskjaer call on to change things when things aren't going well? And the answer, quite simply, is no one.
Listen, they've lost their first game of the Champions League. There's still time to make that up. They picked up the full points at the weekend only because Mark Noble, and I know we've discussed this at length on the show, and the boys have, came on and missed a penalty. And they, along with West Ham, have made a bundle of changes at home, and they've lost, right? So let's put it in perspective about clubs don't take this, the so-called big clubs don't always take this competition that serious. Man City have won it, what now, four times in a row? So it's serious enough for their biggest rivals and arguably the most consistent team in England for the last 3 or 4 years, is big enough for them to win it and deem it as, you know, something that you build momentum on by winning trophies. So why is it not good enough for a club that has been on the outside looking in since the Ferguson era, basically? So I and Solskjaer can talk about, you know, changes in squads and what's important and what's not. At the end of the day, the Man United fans are looking at him and saying, the question is, and I've talked about this before, there's no question that Tuchel can deliver. There's no question that Guardiola can deliver. There's no question that Klopp can deliver. There is still a big question from everybody and sundry: can Ole Solskjaer deliver? And this is another box with a cross in it.
Are they guilty of running before they can walk, Jules?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe there's a bit of that. It was 14 years since West Ham last won at Old Trafford. 14 years, 17 games in a row. And now the manager who lost that unbeaten run is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And I agree with Craig, but we won't repeat what we say regularly on the show, apart from Jan. But we're still waiting. We're still waiting. The jury is still out. Show us. And tonight, that competition was a way for him to show us. To show us that they can go far even by playing the B team. It's not just about the players on the pitch. It's what they know what to do. They know the patterns of play. It's also, I think managers deserve credit when they put a B team and that B team plays well together. You have that collective strength, whether it's your A team, your B team or your C team. Because the work you do at training is the same for every player, whether they're from the A team or the B team. Everybody trains the same way. Everybody learns the same thing. Everybody is taught the same thing. And right now, when I saw this team play tonight, there was not enough collective strength for my liking to tell me, oh yeah, this is what he does at training. And this is the same issue. And I hope for him he does well and for United fans before we get all the abuse in the world. But tonight, it was not good enough. Again, even with the B team, I don't care what kind of team he puts out, collectively, it's still not good enough.
Elsewhere today, Chelsea booked a place in the next round just after beating Aston Villa eventually on penalties at Stamford Bridge. It went to penalties as well between Wolves and Spurs. Spurs victorious, going through to the next round. Comfortable win meanwhile for Arsenal against FC Wimbledon. And Millwall lost at home against Leicester. Leicester winning by 2-0. And they finished Brighton 2, Swansea City 0. So let's take a look at the draw. Then it will be Chelsea against Southampton, Arsenal, Leeds, Stoke City, Brentford, West Ham against Manchester City. Leicester meanwhile take on Brighton, Burnley, Spurs, QPR, Sunderland and Preston play host to Liverpool. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Real Madrid thrashed Mallorca by 6-1 at the Santiago Bernabeu on Wednesday. Asensio with a hat-trick. Benzema getting a brace as well. Craig Burley still with us. Luis Garcia joins the show. Craig, this is men against boys, wasn't it?
Yeah, I hope Ronald Koeman wasn't watching it, Dan, because he's got enough problems without seeing Real Madrid stuff six past one of the other La Liga teams. But complete contrast to what we saw on Monday night from Barcelona. It was pacey, there was free flowing, it was forward passing, it was good wing play, it was good link-up play, and creating plenty of chances. And fringe players putting their hands up and saying, listen, this is a squad game, and if you select me, I'm going to come good. I'm thinking about Asensio, Rodrigo, Vinicius Jr. has been very good recently, and of course, Karim Benzema, once again, as you mentioned, absolutely magnificent.
Luis, there's been a lot of talk about Asensio, of course, a very much liked player within Spain. Disappointed that he hadn't been getting the minutes so far this season, and just played over, I think, 63 minutes leading up to this game. Took his chance today and took it very well.
Exactly. That's the way that you have to approach these kind of games. Getting in a mood where you are not happy because you, of course, you're not playing as good, but that if you lose that intensity, that trying to do my best to get my position, at the end, the manager is going to understand it, you're going to put it, you're going to give it a chance to another player. I think Asensio read it very well. I think the intensity he put on the field, it was fantastic. 3 goals. He's showing to the manager that he's ready when he's asked.
Ancelotti loving life at the moment, Craig, is exactly what you want, isn't it? These players coming off the bench looking to prove themselves in these sort of games.
Yeah, look, it was difficult for him coming in as well with the circumstances at Real Madrid, which, as it's unfolded, are nowhere near as bad as at Barcelona. But it was pretty hectic summer for them as well. And of course, he came in off the back of, well, a decent job at Everton, but we know he's a good man manager. We know he's a guy that the players like, and it's just about gelling the guys at the moment. Obviously, the David Alaba signing was key for them because of the centre-halves that they lost. But it's good, you know, when you think about it, they started the season with, Gareth Bale and Eden Hazard. Mm. And now nobody's even going to be talking about them, really, because Vinicius Jr.'s played really well. Rodrigo's on the side. They've got a bit of pace about them. And the one thing Hazard's been criticised for amongst the many things is that we haven't really seen him taking players on like he did at Chelsea. And what we've seen from Vinicius Jr., Dan, is a guy that when they stick it out to him, one-on-one, he directly goes at his defender. And that stretches team. And so from Ancelotti's perspective, one, the team are playing for him, but I think more importantly, if he can keep getting a tune out of Karim Benzema, yeah, and there's no sign that he's not, then they're going to be hard to stop.
That's the key, isn't it, Luis? You've got to really almost wrap him up in cotton wool throughout this season, Benzema, because he is the heartbeat of everything that is good within this Real Madrid side.
Yeah, exactly. Something that a lot of people was asking for, this Karim Benzema, for many years. Yes, he's a centre forward, he can create, he can have the ball, but he's not scoring goals. At the moment, Karim Benzema is probably one of the best, if not the best, striker in Europe. You can see that everything that happens in Real Madrid, from three, from four, is through his feet. He receives the ball, he combines, he makes every single decision the easiest one, and at the end, when he's in front of the goal, He's finishing, he's clinical. So, yeah, probably one of the best stuff from Karim Benzema, and he's going to be one of the contenders for the Golden Boot this season.
It really is. Look at those stats so far. Go on, Craig.
No, I was just going to say, Dan, you know, it's not just about the goals. It's the fact that they're you know, that was a pretty young Real Madrid side when you throw in Camavinga and the left back as well. And what Benzema's done for me at the start of this season, he's taken it on his shoulders as the experienced one. He's 34 now. But he's taken that responsibility and taken that pressure and said, listen, I'm still the guy. Don't worry. I will do the job for you. And I'm still waiting, and Barcelona are still waiting for one of their experienced guys to sort of step into that role, whether it be Busquets or Piqué, who didn't play the other week, or even a Frankie de Jong, who's an experienced player now. And Barcelona and Ronald Koeman need more from those players in a similar fashion to what Carlo Ancelotti's had at the start of the season from Karim Benzema.
Luis, we saw Camavinga make his first start for Real Madrid. How would you rate it?
I think he was pretty good. He was trying to get his position. Of course, a player who likes to go forward. So sometimes he lose the position in the middle where he has to hold a little bit, but he was intense. You can see that his base game is on the strength that he's got. He's good technically. He's been moving Real Madrid from one side to the other side. So I think it's been a pretty good game for him. And of course, he needs to continue to adapt to the competition, getting more rhythm of competition as well. So it's a great sign that Real Madrid, I'm impressed the way he has linked with all the teammates very quick.
Julian Laurent was supposed to be here talking about Manchester United, but he's heard us talking about Benzema and now he wants to chip in. Go on, Jules.
I just think the guy is a genius, Dan. No. As simple as that. For your return on the show, he scores this incredible goal. Where I swear that first touch with his back is on purpose. It's exactly what he wants to do. He knows the ball is coming there.
And the two deflections.
He turns his back. It's just amazing. It's amazing. It's like good French wine. It gets better with age.
Do you know the only thing that could destroy his career now, Jules, is a move to PSG.
Oh, that would do it. Just a reminder, Barcelona are in big trouble at the moment, aren't they? We'll be talking about them a little later on in the show. They're in action way against Cadiz in a game that is live on ESPN Plus tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. After the game, Sid caught up with Carlo Ancelotti. But first, here's Mallorca striker Matthew Hoppe.
Your first start for Mallorca at the Santiago Bernabeu and Real Madrid go 1-0 up after 3 minutes. In a moment like that, what's going through your mind?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm happy to get my start with the team, especially, you know, only after a few weeks. And yeah, it was a difficult result, difficult start to the game. And we got back into it for a little bit of time, except they just kept coming with the pressure. And then, it was just a difficult game.
You must have been quite pleased with that sort of 20-minute period in the first half when it felt like Mallorca got hold of the ball a lot. It felt like you started to create chances, that there was a game there.
I mean, you always want to be able to, be in the game to cause problems for the opponents. But, if you want to look at it positively, we did do well for 20 minutes, but we have to go a full 90 minutes if we want to get results against teams like this.
Obviously, I know that there's never going to be any kind of, if you like, fatalism or any sense of writing games off. But was today a game that isn't really your fight, if you see what I mean? Is it a game that you could kind of go out to enjoy and to take part in rather than to be really, really concerned about the result?
No, I think you should go into every game with the mentality that you're going to win, that you want to score, that you want to help your team. If you go in with that mentality, then I don't think you're going to get very far.
What did you make of Real Madrid? Was this a step again, from your point of view, being out there in this kind of environment with a team this good?
Yeah, I mean, it's a new league, one of the best teams in the league. So to be able to see how they play, it's, they're really good players. And, you can try and take what you can from them and not focus on the result too much, but just keep going forward and focus on the next game and, try and win the next one.
Were you able to enjoy tonight's game? I don't know if that's the right word. Maybe it's not.
I wasn't happy, on the bench. It was a difficult game. I think I could have done some things better, holding up the ball, competing for headers. But, it's just a difficult game. So you could take the positives, but still I'm not happy with the result.
Looking beyond today, looking at how things have gone so far for you, not just for you, but also for the team as a whole, it has been a good start for Mallorca. How are you settling in? How confident are you about the rest of the season?
Yeah, so I think the team and everyone on the team is confident about staying up and just becoming one of the difficult teams to face in the league and, next year get even better. So.
And how's your Spanish, by the way?
It's a little rusty. I think when I try and speak it, I mix it with German. And it's confusing sometimes, but I think I'll get the hang of it soon.
You will get there, obviously. And in terms of choosing a place to live, you haven't chosen badly.
Yeah, it's a good, really good place to live.
Carlo, I'm going to ask you to do my job for me. Tonight, so many things happened and so many good things that I don't really know where to start. So where would you start?
The result, good. Performance, good.
defensively better, and we showed a lot of quality, the quality that these teams has. And we have to keep going because we have another game on Saturday. I think that the fact that we score early help us to have a good performance, to be more in control of the game. Something has to improve and something we have to keep, because in this moment the quality in front is really high.
As you say, there's a game on Saturday, there was a game last weekend, there was Champions League last week. Does that mean that one of the other important things tonight was the fact that Modric could rest, Casemiro could rest, you could bring on another young player to make a debut? You seem to be getting a lot out of the whole squad now.
No, it's a good sign, the fact that the players that didn't play a lot were ready, Asensio, Isco, to Camavinga, to play a good game, and this is a good sign for the squad.
We always talk about how it's important to have players happy. Does tonight show that sometimes it's better if they're not very happy?
Who?
If players are unhappy, is it better? Asensio, you said yesterday it's good if he's not happy, it's good if Isco's not happy. And
I hope to find another unhappy next week.
Is there another unhappy player in your squad that you can find?
Yeah, of course. No, it's normal that the player that doesn't play with this kind of quality is unhappy. But the squad is really, really competitive. It's really difficult to do the lineup, but it's better to have difficulties to do the lineup with good players than with bad players.
Sid Lowe joins us now. Sid, do you think what epitomised Ancelotti and Zidane was the ability to manage those players who weren't playing during their previous tenures at Real Madrid? That seemed to be epitomised once again here today.
Absolutely. The way that Ancelotti talked about it yesterday, and he was confronted with this story, Asensio is unhappy, and he just completely turned it round. He said, Asensio's unhappy. Good. He's not playing. I don't want him to be happy. I don't want players who are not playing to be happy. And then he said, you might find that Isco's unhappy. You might find that Jovic is unhappy. And he made a virtue of something that we, as journalists and fans and everybody around football, always says is a problem. And he makes a virtue of it. And tonight, of course, you saw Isco play really well, come on and play well. You saw a hat-trick for Asensio, the first time he's ever got a hat-trick with a club. He's done it once with the Spanish under-21s. And it worked really, really well. And I think Ancelotti manages that side of things exceptionally well. And he keeps repeating this line all the way through this season. It doesn't matter if you play 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour or 90 minutes. What matters is that you come on and the contribution is good. And Rodrigo Goes was saying that after the game tonight. He had his first start. He said, the manager keeps saying to me, it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality of what you do when you do get that opportunity.
And people are saying, oh, it's only Mallorca. Look, Real Madrid should be beating them 6-1 every day. But the problem is, in the past, you look at last season, they weren't beating these sort of teams that lack the quality in the way in which they should. And that's what's really, I suppose, starting to stand out this season.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to remember who it was. They lost at home against Cadiz, against Alaves, and there's another one early in the season. I can't remember who it was, to be perfectly honest with you. But all of them were teams that you think you probably shouldn't be losing to these teams. Now, you're right. On the face of it, at the Santiago Bernabeu, against Mallorca, Real Madrid would expect to win. But it doesn't always happen. And I think there's a comfort about their performance tonight, which I think is striking. You were asking before the game if they're really that good. I think they have done lots of good things this season, but they haven't always impressed. Ancelotti has continued to say that. Even tonight, he was saying there are little things we need to improve. And I think that's been really striking, because I think we've seen a tougher, more direct, more critical Ancelotti than the last time he was at the club.
Meanwhile, Barcelona would have enjoyed watching Real Madrid win so convincingly. It's all about Ronald Koeman, isn't it, at the moment? Front and centre of all of the Catalan newspapers after that thoroughly disappointing victory earlier on in the week. It's all about now his future. He, of course, added fuel to the fire on Wednesday when he addressed the press. He refused to take any questions. He sat there, he read a statement, and it was a less than inspiring statement, Sid, I think is fair to say.
Yeah, there are two or three different elements to it. The fundamental one, obviously, was him demanding some support and support. And he said it himself in words and in deeds. But as you say, in terms of the message, the optimism, the idea that this team can compete, in this message, in this statement, he basically said, we're not going to win anything. And even if that's true, it tends not to be something that a manager says publicly.
Luis Garcia is still with us. Luis, if you're sat in that Barcelona changing room and you're hearing your manager, your boss coming out and say, this team isn't good enough to win anything, how does that make you feel?
Well, of course, from outside, you feel sad to hear these kind of comments. But I'm sure that this is it's been talked before. It's been talked and discussed in the dressing room, of course, with the board. At the end, it's about trying to send a clear message. And a little bit of a message of we need the support of all our supporters, of all the football fans in Barcelona. And put away a little bit of the pressure and the spotlight of the young players they are playing at the moment. So I think everybody has put together to try to send a message to everybody outside of Barcelona. Yeah, this is a moment of transition. Of course, things are not going well either with injuries, Pedri, Alba, Sufati, Dembélé, the list is, it goes on and on. And that's something that Barcelona is struggling with as well. So it's not the perfect moment for Barcelona this year, or at least the start of the La Liga. But again, they got 8 points. Tomorrow they play against Cadiz. Winning the 3 points is going to get closer to the top of the La Liga, and probably everything is start getting smoothly. So we'll see what's going to happen.
Luis Garcia, ever the optimist. That's what it's all about. See, if they could sack Ronald Koeman today, would they?
I think they should bring Luis in. It's a much more positive message. It's a great idea. Look, to be perfectly honest with you, if they could sack Ronald Koeman today, would they? Well, I suppose, strictly speaking, they can. But there are two fundamental problems with that. One, who replaces him? And two, how do they pay to sack him? How do they sort out that severance pay? Those are the two fundamental problems right now. So I think the answer is, if they could, within the context of, if you like, a sacking that they think makes sense, they would do it, yes.
Who's to blame, Sid? The players or the coach?
Well, it depends what you mean. To blame for what exactly? Because, of course, the performances haven't been sparkling, but the results haven't been that dreadful. A draw against Granada is not a great result. The draw at Athletic Club, well, that can happen with Barcelona. The defeat against Bayern Munich, I think we all anticipated it. And I think part of the point here, of course, is that the discussion, the discourse after that that Bayern Munich game was that this is a reality of what it is. And so maybe then you say, well, it's not a case of asking player or coach, it's a case of looking at the reality, and then you're talking about the club, the financial situation, the inability to keep these players. And then you don't even look at the president. And why don't you even look at the president? Well, because you've got to look at the last president, and you've got to look at the situation inherited from the former regime, from the former administration. How do you fix this? Look, there's no getting away from a very, very basic fact. Lionel Messi left Barcelona because they could not keep him. This wasn't a sporting decision. This wasn't someone thinking, you know, that little number 10, he's not that good anymore. He's a bit old. Let's get someone else in. Let's get Luke de Jong in instead of him, shall we? It wasn't that. It was, we can do nothing but let him go. Oh, and by the way, we've also got to let go Antoine Griezmann. After last summer, having basically to let go Luis Suarez for free, and even Rakitic for only 1.5 million euros, and Arturo Vidal for free. And so this is a much, much deeper problem than simply kind of looking around and going, well, who are the obvious candidates? Because it goes well beyond that.
So then how much, Luis, is it down to the likes of Piqué and Busquets within that locker room to try and galvanise this team almost to say, look, everyone's against us, everyone is expecting us to fail, let's go out there and prove them wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Let's try to show the leader of the team, of the club, trying to show up and stand forward. And that's the only way that you can manage this situation. But of course, once again, I'm going to mention, I know that you guys think that I'm very positive. Yeah, I don't like the way that Barcelona has been playing lately. We got in our memories the way of Pep Guardiola's side, although Xavi, Iniesta and stuff. But before that, there was a moment of transition as well that sometimes we forget, because in football it's very easy to forget what happened with this Barcelona back in the 2001, 2 and 3, before Frank Rijkaard arrived to Barcelona. And then the trophies start arriving and the good ways and those Eto'o, they call him fantastic player with Ronaldinho. But at the moment, it's a moment of transition. The club needs to start bringing young players from the academy who they know, they feel the Barcelona philosophy, and bring it. And there is a few that you can use. At least, meanwhile, Sergio Aguero, Ansu Fati, Dembélé, get ready to play back again. It's a tough moment, but once again, the results are continuing there. We've seen Real Madrid not playing well and getting trophies. We've seen Atletico Madrid not playing the best way and getting trophies. So at the end, it's a moment of understand that, yes, it's not the Barcelona we all like, but we need to continue being positive, because if the results stay there, why not? This Barcelona can fight until the end of the season for something.
I tell you, it's a bit special that we've got Luis on the show today, because he is one of the busiest men I've seen on Instagram in the world. 2 weeks ago, he's in Northern Ireland doing his coaching badges. Then I saw you in Liverpool at the Palace game, Luis. And then you were at some sort of paddle world championship in Barcelona. Now, for those who don't know, is paddle basically what, tennis for old people?
It's not that. It's not that, right? Definitely, it's like very competitive. You have to run a lot. Well, not that much. You have to try, guys.
Who were you playing with? So. Was that Totti? Did you see Totti was there?
Actually, Totti was brilliant. He was in the final, almost win the trophy. Fran de Boer, Ronald de Boer, Van Bronckhorst, yep. Roy Mackay. They are all former legends, and they are all fantastic players. There you go, Puyol, still the same hair. It's been great. It's been good to catch up with the former lads, and yeah, good fun.
And how did you get on? Because I know you're very competitive, Luis. How did you get on?
I'm very competitive, and tomorrow I go classes again.
Oh, right. Sign up. So do you play?
Yeah, so say again?
I tried to play once. I tried to play once. I'm not very good at it. But you're right. It's tennis, theoretically, made smaller and made easier. But it is very, very intense. And physically, it's not easy at all.
Oh, we kind of went on a tangent then. Yeah. Thank you very much, everyone.
Look how we ended up there, Dan. How did that happen?
Do you think you'd be good at paddle, Shane?
I think I'd be outstanding,
really?
Dan.
Really? Well, yeah. Be a first. Yeah. Cadiz against Barcelona, of course, will be our feature match that we'll be looking back on in the next edition of ESPN FC. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Midweek action in Italy as well today. Well, the big storyline had to be Juventus coming from behind to beat Spezia by 3-2. Let's welcome to the show, shall we, Gab Marcotti. Gab, what a game this was.
Crikey O'Reilly indeed. We had obviously Juventus taking the lead with Moise Keane. And then obviously Spezia clawing it back. If you get to see the highlight, I think the celebration for Jozy's equalizer will look familiar to fans of a certain CR7. I'm not going to go out and guess who inspired who. But then in the end, Juve pulling it out. And I think it's significant that it's Enrico Chiesa scoring a great goal. And Matthijs de Ligt, because remember, those three guys, Keane, Chiesa, and especially de Ligt, those were guys who people thought, well, Allegri's kind of overlooking them. Does he not trust them? Why don't they get more playing time? They did so midweek against Spezia, and I think they gave a very, very strong response. And I think they certainly staked a claim for why they should be getting more playing time. Certainly de Ligt and Chiesa anyway.
So for Juve, Gab, is that it? Perfect. Nice win from behind. Turn the corner now and off we go.
No, not at all. Because, Dan, it's been 5 games and they have 5 points. 1 point a game is barely avoiding relegation. So, no, they need to go and they need to do better. There's no question about it. There are positives to take. Obviously, they showed the reaction. Allegri came out and said what he likes to say and what I thoroughly disagree with. It's like, oh, I like the way the team suffered and showed that they knew how to suffer, which I never see as a good thing, but obviously he does. But I think it does remind you that there are alternatives to guys who are playing. I think he will have some selection headaches possibly going forward. And look, Allegri's a veteran guy. Maybe this is what he wanted, a reaction from Chiesa and De Ligt. But I think certainly it's going to be hard to keep these guys out of the lineup.
Let's take a look then at how things stand after those matches. That win for Juventus still leaves them 13th in the table. Everyone's chasing Inter at the top, who are now joined by AC Milan after a comfortable win today, Gab.
Yeah, it took a while to get going. They did make a lot of changes, but it was that man, the little man, Brian Diaz again. He's really coming on in leaps and bounds. Look, they had a ton of players out for this game. Obviously, Ibrahimovic and Giroud up front, Tomori at the back. But it didn't matter. And this is, on top of that, he made other changes as well. We got to see Balotelli playing in midfield. Did okay. I'm not sure I'll be writing home about him just yet. Needs to do a bit more. But they came through. They came through against a newly promoted side. They showed that they're not phased. And I think for a young team, that's very important. And Brian Diaz, I don't want to get carried away, but he's got a ton of personality. He's got a ton of talent. Is this a potential star in the making?
Ballon d'Or winner, Gab Marcotti, says Raheem Diaz. That's certainly worth keeping an eye on. Gab, we haven't spoken for a while. Who's going to win the league?
Oh, goodness me. I've been really, really impressed with Inter. As you know, I had serious doubts going into the season. I like the fact that they can attack, they can beat you in different ways. But still, losing Lukaku and Hakimi is a lot to metabolize. Spalletti certainly surprised me in Napoli. I think it's going to come down to those two and Milan. And now I know you're going to come back and say, oh, for goodness sake, Gabs, why can't you pick just one? And so since you're forcing me to pick just one, I'm going to come out and say Milan. But it's a very, very weak choice at this stage. I don't have strong feelings. I need to see more.
I love it when I don't even have to ask questions anymore.
Everybody just seems to know your question,
exactly,
Dan.
Exactly, that's easy.
That's a concern.
Just a reminder, the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast drops on Thursday. Be sure to check that out over on the website.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, in France, PSG again left it late. It would be Hakimi who would open the scoring. Remember, no Lionel Messi. He was out injured. Metz with the equaliser, and it looked like it finished 1-1. But then in the 95th minute, Hakimi with the opening goal to maintain PSG's perfect start to the season. Jules, how many lies have your boys got?
That's right, Dan. Second game in a row where they're winning at the time. I guess the positive of that is this, that not giving up kind of attitude, and you keep pushing and you can score. The not so positive outcome of it is that once again it was not very convincing in the game, in the performance. Yeah, they could have been 3-0 up easily in the first half. Kylian Mbappe missed two or three good chances, but they also were exposed defensively. We saw Keylor Navas' big save just before the break where it could have been 2-1 to Metz, and the second half might be different. But in the end, Hakimi has been an incredible signing. And you could see what Poch is trying to do, but it's still not good enough, I guess, considering the amount of talent that this PSG team has.
What is the main problem here, Jules? What is Pochettino trying to get his side to do that they can't put together on the pitch?
We saw it tonight again. It's the defensive transition, mostly. It's that when they lose the ball, if they don't get it back as soon as almost, or in the next 5 or 10 seconds, and especially against a team like Metz, we were not doing well before, they were bottom of the table, but they have those young, really quick, powerful, aggressive players who can play forward so quickly. And we saw that on that big chance that Navas saved. They're good on set pieces. And that's how they created problems to PSG, because as soon as Metz got the ball, they played forward so quickly that PSG were caught a bit in those defensive transitions. And that's going to be the problem, because they've got so many attacking-minded players, even without Messi. And because I think the balance is still not perfect between attacking and defending.
What's striking, Jules, from where we started the season discussing selfies being taken on the pitch by the opposition players with Lionel Messi to now, is that what's transpired over the last month is that you've got teams going up against PSG who have this belief, and that is evident now in every single game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's pretty simple, and then it's different to do on the pitch, but be aggressive, of course, and you have to be in the face all the time, and then play those quick transition forward, because you know that this PSG team is a bit wonky when they lose the ball. There's that exposition defensively, there's that lack of balance as well in midfield. So if you can play those ball quickly forward, then you will have chances. And we saw Lyon having them, we saw Metz tonight again, and I think that would be the same for most of the season. I still believe the answer is to go with a back three and two wing backs, and that will bring more solidity and more balance to this team. Poch hasn't done that yet so far. Maybe he's waiting for Sergio Ramos to eventually be fit again to be playing in that back three. But until he does that, we won't know if that could be the answer. But certainly at the moment, he hasn't found the right formula that makes those opponents not really believe that they're in the game like they've been so far in the season.
Julien Laurent, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder how things stand then in France. Still, somehow, PSG are perfect after seven games, 7 points clear of Marseille, who do have a match in hand.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Gab and Jules are back with us. Shaka, of course, here as well to answer your questions on Extra Time. Welcome then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much, as always, for your tweets. Shaka Hissel with us in the studio. We also welcome, look at this, Gab Marcotti and Julien Laurent. Should we start with me?
I feel like there's a podcast about the breakup.
Can we start with me, Shaq? Do you mind?
Well,
is that all right? I just want to say thank you very much to all the messages that I've had over the last couple of weeks from everyone. Much, much appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome, Dad.
Everyone who's written. You wrote me a nice message.
Yes, I did.
Gab sent me a video.
Oh.
I know. Well. I know. What about that?
I sent Dan a nice little message, and his reply is, well, thanks, Mom.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Well, you told me not to hurry back.
Well, I was concerned about you, Dan. You know.
And do you know when Jules sent me a message?
What?
Today.
Oh, well.
Great. Well, I'm much better now, Jules. That doesn't help anyone, does it?
He's been busy keeping up his end of the Gab and Jules podcast, because Gab's away gallivanting wherever gallivants do.
Okay.
It's the thought that counts. It's only the thought that counts.
Jules, should Koeman be given a little time? I saw Jules rant on yesterday's show about Koeman, until the likes of Ansu Fati, Dembele and Aguero, returned from their injury to prove himself under better conditions?
No. He can go on holidays now, you know, he can go surfing in Hawaii if he wants, skiing in the mountains somewhere, but I think he needs a break from football.
Wow.
That was definitive.
This is from Pineapple Pizza, so it's got to be for Gab. Daniel Levy has been chairman of Spurs for 20 years this year, Gab. How would you assess his tenure, and is it time for new leadership? God, this is deep for Extra Time.
It is. Well, considering he owns a big chunk of the club, I wouldn't hold my breath in terms of getting a new leadership. I think he's fine. I mean, I think he's kept the club afloat. He's kept them profitable. He's managed to generally keep a pretty low profile in terms of people don't go and, you know, he also has a billionaire owner who lives abroad for tax reasons in Joe Louis. And but for some reason, people never moan about him taking money out of the club or not putting more money in the way they do about some other owners. So I think from that perspective, he'd say, no, I'm very happy with what I've done and the way I've run things. You know, at different times, he's been more hands-on. Other periods, he's been a little more hands-off. I don't agree with everything he's done, but I think Spurs, you know, looking around at other clubs, looking at the way Darby's gone, looking at some other owners, I think Spurs in some ways can count themselves a little bit lucky to have had a guy like Daniel Levy.
Jules, has there ever been another player who's been as disrespectful as James, oh, James, as James towards Everton?
Towards Everton?
Yeah, so I think he's been disrespectful to
Miyako.
Everton. I think that's what we're reading here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's been players at that club who were in conflict with either the manager or the ownership or, you know, the sporting director, Marcel Brands or whoever. The thing with James is because he's James and because he had issues before, maybe we talk a bit more about it, maybe because at the age of 30 he's going to Qatar because that's the only option that he has left right now, that we talk about it a bit more. Has he been really disrespectful? I think he's been disrespectful a bit. The issue is the attitude, and we've said it many times on the show, regardless of who he plays for, this is the problem. And I think that has been the case against with Everton, and it's a real shame because things started well last season. Mm. The problem is they didn't last long.
Shaka, who was the most physically demanding manager you ever played under? Did they expect you as a goalkeeper to be fit?
Yeah. Why are you laughing for that question? I don't understand.
It was part for the course, you had to be fit, no?
I had to be fit. It was a different kind of fitness.
Right.
Probably, let me see, most physically. And I'll pick on Mark McGee just because he was first and that kind of...
That's why you were at Reading, yes?
Well, I was at Reading,
yeah.
when I started in 92. But back in those days, fitness isn't what it is today. You know, it was the show for pre-season. You're not going to see balls for 2 weeks.
Right.
Everybody just ran. And, you know, as a goalkeeper, you're not expected to be first in the running, but you're expected to complete it. So, you know, and it's only after that you started getting fitness specialists and so involved in the game, and it changed from there on in.
We've got to be due a power rankings by now, Shaka.
Yeah.
Have you not done one yet?
No.
It's been a short season so far, Dan.
What do you mean?
It's been a lot going on, Dan.
What have you been doing?
Well, I was concerned about you, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Don't put that into the mix.
I was heartbroken and concerned.
Yeah.
That's what
so
it is,
so distracted,
Dan.
You were.
I just couldn't focus, Dan.
Right, I see.
That's what
but
it
now
is.
I'm back, so you can do one
Shaka.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, but your Shaka. Voice is all croaky. You're drinking water all show. You can't stop coughing. I'm a bit concerned about you, Dan.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Shaka.
Yes? Yeah, Gab.
Shaka, you need a larger data set to have a representative sample for your scientific power rankings.
Oh, don't back him up.
That, you'll be
don't
fine.
Give him a bailout.
I don't mind
Gab.
A larger data set as long as it doesn't mean more teams. We're sticking with 10.
Right.
Stick with 10 teams.
Yeah. Who would be number one right now?
I'm not telling you.
Why?
Because that would spoil the surprise.
What surprise?
When I eventually
it's Bayern, it's Bayern Munich, isn't it? Isn't it that simple to say?
I'm not telling you, Dan.
Why? Who else would it be?
I'm not telling you, Dan. Could be Chelsea.
No.
Why not?
It's Bayern better.
Huh?
Bayern better.
You want to do the power rankings, then?
Eh?
You want to do the power rankings?
I'm too sick. All right, this is a good one for the crew. Who, in your opinion, is the best international player for your respective countries?
Dwight York. Well, that was easy for me.
Dwight York?
Yeah.
Who would be
best
saying?
Ever?
Yeah, best ever. Let's do that.
Best ever? Yeah, Dwight York.
Who would be second?
Probably Stern John, actually.
Not Neil Shaka-Hislop?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Right.
It'd be Stern John.
Are you the best goalkeeper ever?
In my house?
No, come on. In Trinidad and Tobago, you've got to be the best goalkeeper ever.
That's not for me to say, Dan.
Oh, you're so humble, Shaq.
My vote goes to Ross Russell, who's a good friend of mine.
What if he voted for himself as well?
Well, then I'd lose, clearly.
That'd be it. Gab, best Italian player ever?
That's
not English.
We don't have an obvious number one.
Well, that's why it's an interesting question.
So I'll just go with Paolo Maldini. How's that?
Paolo Maldini?
That's a good answer. Might be that. Well done,
well,
Gab.
Glad it's got your approval.
Well done, Gab.
And what is Jules going to say? Platini or Zidane?
He's going to go Platini.
Platini or Zidane?
Gonna
Who's he going for?
Going to go Platini.
Zidane, I'm afraid, Shaka, sorry. Dan, you guessed right, the top two. I think Zidane has to top it up. Just, I guess, because there's a World Cup on top of the Euros and Platini only won the Euros, came close in the World Cup, but there was always something happening. I'll go for Zidane.
Didn't Frank say Platini when we asked Frank sometime
Yes,
back?
Yes.
Who's your best English player ever?
I don't know, Shaq.
Come on, Dan.
It's not really a standout, like a bit like Gab, isn't it? It's not really a standout candidate.
No. Like, Gab's issue. There are too many standout candidates.
Yeah.
That's the Italians'
you
issue.
You don't have enough.
Too many. No, so don't try to put this on Gab. Who's the best English player ever?
I don't know. You're supposed to say someone like Stanley Matthews or Bobby Charlton, aren't you? But I didn't really see him play.
When have you ever just said what you're supposed to say?
Well, I'm just saying.
What kind of cop-out is that?
It's not something I particularly want to commit to.
Why not?
Because I don't feel comfortable saying X, Y, or Z.
I've seen you comfortable saying
no, you see, it's
far worse than that.
It's the new me, you see.
Good Lord.
Thinking more about my actions.
Until you answer that, I am not doing a power rankings.
Okay, final question. Shaka's favourite dessert is goat cheese cherry ice cream, correct?
Yes, correct. Yes.
You love it?
Yes.
What are Dan, Gavs and Jules? Good question.
Good question.
That is a great question. Right, let's start with Jules, shall we?
Very easy, very simple. Éclair au chocolat. The best dessert in the whole world.
Okay.
There's no debate in it, nothing.
But isn't that more of a patisserie than an actual dessert? Like, you wouldn't have that in a restaurant, would you?
It's more of a what?
Like a patisserie.
Oh, lovely. I like where you had.
Yeah, you do. Of course you do have it in restaurants.
Yeah, you'd have that in a restaurant. Slap it on a plate.
Yeah.
Slap it on a plate. Oh, God. I can't take this, man. He's too used to hospital food. That's what it is, Jules.
Okay. Gav?
What is an éclair for dessert?
What do you mean? Like, instead of what?
I don't know. You've got so many great French desserts. Go with tarte tatin or the eel flottant or whatever. You're ordering an éclair for dessert.
Exactly the same. You can have an éclair if you want to. Leave me alone. Go give your answer.
I'm going to make it easy. Go with tiramisu because nobody's going to argue with that. At least among Italian desserts.
I don't like tiramisu. So I don't really like coffee.
No?
There's that argument. That's
what did you go for?
Do you know what I really like?
Well,
oh dear.
Proper old school banana split. Yes. I love a banana split.
What chance do you have?
That's it.
What chance do you have with this, man?
That's it. All creme brulee, no brulee. Right,
we are done. What?
A creme brulee without the brulee. So without the burnt bit on the top, just the like the vanilla. It's basically vanilla custard. Posh vanilla for custard. It's nice.
You tell yourself.
What are you, 8 years old, Dan?
Yes!
We cannot take this man anywhere. We cannot.
Gav, when I was with my good friend, Alessandro Del Piero, I was going to have penne alla vodka, and he said, are you a child? Oh, I like penne alla vodka, yeah, banana split.
I'm convinced you made yourself sick for the hospital food.
Oh,
I am.
Dear, right, that is. Why do you think the hospital food was any good?
What do you think? Nothing you've chosen so far is any good.
Right, that's it. We are done. Thank you very much. It is great to be back. We will be returning to your screens tomorrow to reflect on another farcical performance from Barcelona. Be sure to join us.